Hello, podcast listeners. We know podcasts are a great way to catch up on a program that you may have missed on KSJE, and it's provided as a free service of this radio station. But you know, KSJE is now listener-supported, and so while you enjoy this podcast, we hope that you'll also take some time to join KSJE. Become a member today. It's quite easy to do. Just go to our website at ksje.com/support and pick the level of support that best matches your budget. Thanks again for listening. Here's your podcast. Well, let me turn to my guests who are here with me this morning to talk about the Child Haven CASA program here in San Juan County. Amy O'Neill is joining us from the CASA offices in Farmington. Amy, good morning. Good to see you.
Good morning, Scott. Thank you for having us.
You bet. Great to have you with us. And also joining us is one of the interns and CASA volunteers with the program. Shelley Faulkner is here. Shelley, good morning to you. Good to have you here as well. And so thank you for being with us. Amy, let me start with you a little bit to kind of give us a reminder of the CASA program. As I mentioned, it's court-appointed special advocate. This is a program, I know you and I have been talking about it for a number of years, but it does a great service to children in San Juan County, doesn't it?
Yes. So a CASA volunteer is a trained community volunteer who advocates for the best interest of a child who has been a victim of abuse and neglect. So we have a training coming up starting in October, and we've moved to a virtual training format. And we are recruiting CASA volunteers because we presently have 12 children in state custody that do not have a CASA volunteer advocate.
Okay, and that is a little bit different from our conversations in the past, because I know in the past we've talked about having all children with CASA volunteers, and now there's a bit of a shortage. Is that a decline in CASA volunteers or an increase in cases or a little bit of both?
A little bit of both. We have had steady CASA volunteers who have taken on new cases after their case finishes, so we kind of get up to 95%, and then we get some more cases that come in. And so since a case lasts a year or more, the CASA volunteer only has that one case for a year. So that's why we need new CASA volunteers to take on these new cases.
Sure, understood. And again, that's also why you ask for kind of that commitment from the volunteer, right, to stick with that case for that 1 year, maybe sometimes longer, maybe sometimes shorter, I guess, depending on how the court cases go.
Exactly. We do ask for a 1 year commitment, though, as part of the qualifications. Some cases last longer, and some have been finishing in less than a year. So you can really never predict. It's up to the parents progressing on their treatment plan and alleviating that safety issue that brought the children into state custody.
Understood. Very good. Well, and Shelley Faulkner, let me bring you into the conversation a little bit about your work as a CASA volunteer, and you're also an intern with the program. It's part of your schoolwork. You are studying at New Mexico Highlands University, and so talk to me a little bit about that. You're studying social work there?
Yes, I am.
And Shelley, we're having I'm not hearing you as loudly as I was before. I don't know if anything's changed at your end, if your settings are, if you can adjust that, but try again. But your volume is pretty low for us.
Oh, yes, I am.
Okay, excellent. I'm going to, Shelley, ask you maybe to reconnect with the Zoom call because your volume's pretty low, and I don't think our audience will be able to hear you this morning, and I apologize for that.
Yeah, you can, Shelley, maybe make your speaker go up more.
We'll try it. But if you want to hang up and reconnect with the Zoom call, I'll keep talking to Amy because we can talk about CASA for weeks on end. And that's okay. There's plenty to talk about. But we'll let Shelley reconnect. And I don't know what happened to our connection because we tested it before and she came through loud and clear. But Amy O'Neill, let me turn back to you and talk a little bit about people like Shelley who were being an intern. And this really works with some college programs and for folks who maybe are looking for some service learning or other types of opportunities, working with the CASA program can check a lot of boxes, can it?
Yes. So we are very open to having service learning students as well as practicum students from San Juan College. Many then do become CASA volunteers. We love that. And with our training being virtual, there will be homework that is done with case studies. It's a guided learning curriculum that has been made by National CASA. And then we have together Zoom sessions with all of the participants together where we go over the case studies. So you're really learning about all the different advocacy activities that CASA Volunteer would do through these case studies.
Got it. And again, you get great cooperation, I know, with the colleges. I know Shelley also studied here at San Juan College, and this kind of worked into kind of the things that she was studying while she was here. And now that she's transferred to Highlands, it really works with what she's studying over there.
Yes, and I would like to give a big shout out and kudos to everyone working in child welfare in San Juan County. Everyone has continued doing their work 100%. Our court hearings have continued via Google Meet. All of the meetings with children, youth, and families take place via Zoom or conference call. So there has not been any stopping of the work at all. So parents are being provided services via Zoom from Cottonwood Clinic and many other places like Desert View Counseling, Child Haven Counseling. So it is really quite amazing how things have moved forward, even with people having to stay at home and not being able to have in-person visits.
Right. No, that is amazing. And it just tells you how important that work is. So I appreciate you mentioning that, and kudos to all those folks, as you mentioned. And with the CASA program, Amy O'Neill, I imagine that the court cases and some of these things that these children are involved with, those have been continuing too, maybe even in a virtual way.
Yes, so every Monday we have children's court, and Judge Daly is the judge who presides over most of those court hearings. We want to thank him for being a part of the CASA training also. So he has joined us for every Zoom session where when we've had a training, he's joined us to introduce himself to the trainees. And he has also sworn in all the new CASA volunteers via Zoom. So
nice.
Everything just keeps on going via Zoom.
That's true. Well, but that's important again because of the work that is being done. And so the virtual training, let's talk a little bit about that, and then we'll go back to Shelley and see if our connection's a little bit better. But I want to ask you about the training that starts next month in October, correct?
Yes. So if you are interested in becoming a CASA volunteer, please give us a call at 325-5358. Extension 182, or you can go to the Child Haven website where there is an application that can be done on the website, and we will follow up with you for a first interview and a background check, which is needed to become a CASA volunteer.
Okay.
Also, we ask that you are 21 years of age and will be able to have about 8 to 10 hours a month to be a CASA volunteer. Most of that work is now virtual from the home, and even when it's in person, it's on your hours when you can visit the children. So that's something Shelley will talk to us about, how she visits her CASA children in this virtual atmosphere.
Exactly. And again, the website I want to just mention, childhavennm.org/CASA, is how we can find that information.
Yes. And so if you get to the Child Haven website, there's a tab also, and
right,
it'll take you right there.
Childhavennm.org, or of course, you can also go through Facebook, because I know the SJC CASA program is on Facebook as well. So
yes.
There you go. All right. Let's all cross our fingers, and we're going to go back to Shelley. And I think I'm hopeful, Shelley, that we can hear you now. So let's try it. Talk to me a little bit about your experiences with the CASA program.
CASA program.
You're a little louder, but still not quite as loud as we need you to be, because we can still see Amy while you're talking. But that's okay. Let's keep trying.
Okay.
There you go.
I'm have some CASA children that I visit virtually.
Right.
And it is so fun to see their faces. And I know they look forward to my visits also.
And you visit them about how frequently?
Once a month.
Okay. And from that visit then, because again, the work that you're doing, while it's fun for the kids and fun maybe for you to visit with them, but you write a report, right? You are compiling information then to write a report that gets submitted to the judge in the case, correct?
That's right. I find out how their behavior is, what maybe they want the judge to know.
From the child's perspective, right?
That's right.
Got it. And so so the important work of the CASA volunteer is that because the judge is maybe hearing from parents and other adults in the case and from CYFD and other folks, you're working on the behalf of the child and trying to get the child's perspective on what's going on, right?
Yes, that's right.
Got you. And so talk to me a little bit about how this is working with your studies at Highlands.
I am working to become an advocate for children, and this is part of my field practicum with New Mexico Highlands. I knew that I wanted to work at CASA from the beginning. It's just been a dream of mine to be an advocate for children.
Wonderful. And talk to me a little bit too, Shelly, if you could, about I know you can't talk specifics about this case, but how long have you been an advocate? Is this your first CASA case that you're working with, or have you done others?
This is my first CASA case.
I see. And you've been doing this for about how much time?
Since June.
Okay. So you're a few months in.
Yes.
Great. And as Amy has talked to us that, a lot of things are virtual now, but you get to kind of decide and schedule the time you want to visit with the child according to both of your schedules. And that's pretty flexible. And I would think for other folks maybe considering becoming a CASA volunteer like yourself, I mean, I know the court cases and other things you need to be available for are scheduled with some advance notice, right? It's usually not a lot of last minute stuff. You can really plan for some of these things that you need to be doing, correct?
That's correct.
Very good. Well, that's great. Well, thank you for joining us. We can hear you loud and clear now, so I will be coming back to you with another question here in a moment. Let me go back to Amy O'Neill, though, to talk a bit about the training, Amy. And I know we've talked about this, and as you've mentioned, now is the time for folks to maybe apply because there is some work that happens before the training starts in October, like the background check and things along that line, but then to get everybody ready to go for this virtual training that starts in October. And what does that cover?
Yes. So as we were talking about the case studies, there will be a bit of homework. Yep. And then the Zoom session together with the other participants. So the first step would be to give us a call and get the application so that we can have the first interview, and then we can get started on the background check. And the fingerprints are still being done at the fire station. So there is something in person that needs to be done. We are able to have one person at a time at the CASA office, so sometimes we can see people there, being careful of all the COVID protocols.
Sure.
With the participation, if the person did not have a computer, we could work out something that they would work at the CASA office, where we have two volunteer computers. But so far, everyone participating has had their own computer to be able to participate. And we could also back that up with a hard copy manual if needed. So we like to look at everybody's abilities and be able to work with them for those abilities.
Exactly. Well, that's good to know. And so then the training starts up, as I mentioned, in October, and there's a certain amount of hours of training that are required to become then a CASA volunteer, and you've got that kind of set up on several days, and usually you try to work around people's work hours, right?
Yes, and there will be court observation. So the CASA volunteers, after they finish the confidentiality chapter, will listen. So we don't go into court yet, but we listen via Google Meet or visually participate and learn about how the court hearings go. So that
gotcha.
Is very interesting because you see everything being happening in person.
Right, and that's about 5 hours worth of observation, if I'm reading the form right, schedule.
Exactly. So the guided learning was actually created to be an independent study type of curriculum where the CASA staff in rural areas could work one-on-one with individuals. And luckily it was put together right before the pandemic because we did use it for a class of 20 for Shelley's class. And then we had a class of 2 in the summer. And we hope that we have a larger class coming up in the fall, but we can train two or three at a time participants if needed, because that's the type of curriculum it was made for.
Very good. And I'm looking at the training schedule, and it starts on October 1st. It looks like a couple of hours, 5 to 7 p.m. on most days. It starts on Thursday the 1st and continues that next week, Monday the 5th, Thursday the 8th. Am I reading this right, Amy O'Neill?
Yes. And so those are the Zoom sessions.
Gotcha.
When all the participants are together.
Okay.
And then there will be that module of the case to be done before the Zoom session. So we say it's about 2 to 3 hours of homework for each Zoom session.
Gotcha. Gotcha. And I'm looking at this, and so it's going on a couple of days a week from the 1st till about October 22nd, but then you have that kind of homework hours that you need to put in before those Zoom sessions.
Yes, and then each Zoom session, we will have a community expert who will come to make a guest appearance and present to us. Steve Tarnowski with the Native American Disability Law Center has been presenting to us on the Indian Child Welfare Act, which is very important in the Four Corners area. Judge Daly presents on his role. Richard Austin has come as the guardian ad litem to talk about his role and minimum sufficient level of care, which is something that's utilized to see about children returning home to their home of origin.
Got it. And of course, all that's, I think, very helpful for the volunteers to hear from these folks who are doing the work and in these jobs that they'll be dealing with then throughout their time as a CASA volunteer. Shelley Faulkner, let me go back to you to see if that's indeed the case. Was the training very helpful, and to hear from these folks that are in the know, helpful for you to kind of prepare you for your work now as a CASA volunteer?
It was not hard. However, answering these questions and watching the videos really helped.
Right.
And listening to the other members of the community was a positive experience.
Very good. And I know, too, that Amy and her staff are always available if you have a question when you're working through your case, because, again, every child is different. Every case is different. And so have you seen, as you go through, since you've been doing this since the summertime, if you have a question, are you able to call Amy or one of the staff members at the CASA program and get some direction or get some guidance as to maybe what's going on with your particular case?
Yes, actually, I'm in contact with Amy constantly, emailing and calling her for different things.
Very good. And that's by design, I know, with the CASA program. Amy, right? Isn't that how you have it set up, so that if your volunteers have a question, they can rely on your staff who've maybe dealt with something similar before to give them some guidance or some recommendations?
Yes, exactly. So every CASA volunteer has a supervisor for their case. So I am the supervisor for Shelley's case. And then Shelley also interacts quite a bit with Keba Gorman, our CASA advocate coach, because Shelley's children are in treatment foster care. So every month there is a treatment team meeting. And that's, again, by Zoom nowadays.
Right.
And
right.
One thing we're really promoting now is educational advocacy by the CASA volunteer, because we find that that's something that children in care, if they can gain more academic skills, that really helps them for their whole life. So when Shelley does the Google Duo app to see and speak with her CASA children, they read to her and she reads to them. So then you can really see their level and how they actually really enjoy reading. Not every child wants to do it, but that's something we're really promoting. And we want to say a big thank you to the two Dollar Tree stores in Farmington who had asked their clients to donate school supplies, and we delivered those to the foster children and children at risk in San Juan County.
Terrific. Well, that's a great thing to hear. And of course, I know there's a lot of community support for Child Haven and the CASA program because of the work that it does and continues to do for children in the community. And Amy, again, remind us kind of from the judge's perspective what they say about getting these reports from CASA volunteers like Shelley Faulkner when they have to make some of these very difficult decisions about children and placement and those types of things.
So the CASA volunteer voice is the community voice, and the CASA volunteer is speaking up for a child in the way that a community voice can do. And the judge is very happy to have that different perspective. So we try to use that CASA court report to paint a picture for the judge about what is going on for the child and the child's family. And we're working really hard to provide photos with each report to the judge, because then the child is more than just that piece of paper in the file. You can see that child growing and the percentage of time of the child's life that has been spent in foster care. For babies that come into state custody, sometimes they are 99% of their life has been spent in foster care.
Right. Very important. And so, Shelley Faulkner, let me turn back to you a little bit again about your career choices and your studies, of course, at New Mexico Highlands University. And talk to me a little bit about your plans once you wrap up your studies. You hope to go into social work and do this type of work with your career?
Yes, that's right. I do have a plan to move to Missouri after I graduate. My daughter lives there, and so I thought it would be a great place for me to go, and I could get my master's degree. She lives in Springfield, Missouri, and there is Missouri State University is in Springfield.
Very good. I would imagine they probably have a CASA program there, too.
Yes, they have. They've already checked into that.
See, there you go. Very good. Well, and Amy O'Neill, the CASA program, it's really nationwide, if not worldwide, right? This has been something that's been going on for quite a while, and a lot of communities have seen the benefits of having CASA volunteers working with these cases with these children.
Yes, and I think that that's also something that the CASA volunteers can be very proud of. Since we are a national organization and we do have a state organization here in New Mexico, that raises our level of standards. We have standards we have to follow, and that helps guide every new CASA program that is started. And so we're very proud of that.
Indeed. Well, congratulations again. And it's because of the work of you and the rest of the folks that have been kind of shepherding the CASA program here in San Juan County since its humble beginnings several years ago now, and been helping just numerous children, right? I don't know if we have a count of how many children have been through the CASA program and helped by these CASA volunteers, but I know that it's a large number, which is a good thing.
That would be an interesting statistic for me to look at. And actually, I can tell you right now, We have 44 CASA volunteers who are advocating for 89 children.
Right now. This year. So that's a lot of kids and a lot of volunteers.
This moment.
Yes.
And because when we do it over like a year, looking at a year, it's about 160 children, I think, when I did my last stats for the fiscal year, that had CASA volunteers. And so right now we have 12 children who do not have a CASA advocate. We do monitor all those cases until we have an advocate that we can match with that case. So the CASA staff does monitor and participate in meetings, but it's not the same as having that volunteer that's directly visiting the children.
Sure, understood. But that is kind of how you're able to do that. But that's a lot of kids here in San Juan County that are benefiting from the CASA program. We hope to get it to 100%, but I don't know what the percentage is in my head. I can't do the math. It's too early in the morning. But that seems like a pretty high percentage of kids that are having a CASA volunteer assigned to them. So that's
we go up to kind of 93, then down to 88, then back up to 96. And
that's where we are. Got it. Very good. Well, Shelley Faulkner, if you would join us once again and just give me your best maybe sales pitch for folks who are watching and listening to us this morning to become a CASA volunteer. Folks may think they don't have the training or maybe not enough time to do this, but you're a busy college student. So kind of give us the pitch of how you're able to make this work and how other folks can make it work and help these children.
Well, a lot of the time doing the homework and following the plan, CASA works with your schedule so that you can fit in the work that you need to be doing. Also, being a CASA volunteer is a rewarding experience. I have been rewarded over and over by listening and virtually visiting my CASA children, you form a bond with them. And if I may say that I missed 1 month without visiting them, and when I did virtually visit them the next month, they were upset with me.
They let you know.
They let me know that you. I missed a month. Yes.
And they missed you. Well, that's great. And I imagine there are connections that are made. Amy O'Neill, I imagine you have stories about CASA volunteers that have maybe kept their relationships with the children that they have been working with even after their cases have been adjudicated by the judge.
Yes, so it's when the case is dismissed.
Dismissed,
that
pardon
the the volunteer would then be voluntarily keeping in touch.
Yes.
And we do have many that do so, yes.
That's wonderful. Well, it's a great program. Again, the CASA Volunteer. And again, remind us of how to get in touch with Child Haven if folks are interested from our conversation this morning to get that application packet to get the process started. Amy O'Neill, again, they can give you a call or they can go online, right?
Yes. So please give us a call at 505-325-5358, extension 182, or go to the Child Haven website. And right there at the website, you can fill out the application that will come directly to our email. And our emails are on that website also. So we look forward to hearing from you. Everybody has lots of experiences in their tool belt, and we will add to those experiences for you to be a good CASA volunteer.
That's a very good point. Even before the training, folks still have some skills ready to go. They might be surprised to learn that, but they do. And that's a good thing to note. Again, the website is childhavennm.org, and you can go to the CASA tab and find the application there. Or again, as Amy mentioned, you can call them directly, 505-325-5358, and the extension is 182. Very good. Well, Amy O'Neill, it's, again, always a joy to talk to you, and the work that you do with the CASA program is well documented, but it's always great to remind us of the great work that you and your volunteers are doing. Thank you very much.
Thank you for having us today, Scott.
You bet. You bet. And Shelley Faulkner, thank you for joining us as well. Good luck with your studies at New Mexico Highlands University.
Thank you so much.
You are very welcome. My guest this morning from the Child Haven CASA program on KSJE. Back with more in just a moment, everyone. The time right now is coming up on 8:40 a.m. Did you enjoy that podcast? We hope that you did. And if you did, share it with your friends. And if you really want to keep podcasts like this coming, please support KSJE. You can do it easily online at ksje.com.